Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Smashy Business Show. Today is September 5th, 2024. It is Thursday. My name is Hind Al-Dah, and I am here with my co-host Abdul Majid Awan. So for today's news story, we're going to cover Anghami reports subscriber growth after OSN Plus acquisition, Tarabut acquires UK payments platform Vine, Middle East markets under pressure amid global stock slump. Before we get into any of that, however, Majid, let me ask you, did anything happen this morning that we can talk about on the show?
No morning goes by when nothing is happening. These all stories, they're the big stories, but in the morning, I saw a very good report by Meta. Their board has decided that the term from the river to the sea, which is used by pro-Palestine protesters for a free Palestine, for the end of war, which is happening, they have called it not a hate speech comment now. So you can use these terms on the Meta platform, that is Facebook, yeah. Instagram, YouTube. So
because unfortunately, that slogan has been declared by X, I remember by Elon specifically, that it is a hate speech. And if you were to use it, if you were to write on a tweet, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, you will probably be shadow banned or have your tweet removed.
So mainly the concept is that the ruling came after the board reviewed three Facebook posts. The three Facebook posts said, which had this term, which had this slogan in them, and they reviewed it and they said that it does not contain language calling for violence, exclusion, or glorification of Hamas, which uses Hamas used this phrase in their 2017 charter. So they said it does not contain any language about that. And the decision also highlights the complexity of protecting free expression, free speech, which we always talk about, and political speech on Meta's platforms, especially during the heightened tensions with the ongoing genocide in Gaza, which we're all witnessing. And just a few things about this slogan, that in Germany, using this slogan, from the river to the sea, is now a criminal offense. You can go to jail and be fined. In December last year, the Council of American Islamic Relations filed a discrimination complaint on behalf of a black Muslim Arab American teacher in Maryland, US, after she was placed on administrative leave for her email signature, which had this slogan. And the US Congress member Rashida Tlaib was censured for using the phrase. So these are the instances that are the big instances related to this slogan. So, and now Meta, one of the biggest tech platforms, saying that it's not hate speech. Maybe other places will follow suit, mm-hmm. and maybe X will also follow suit.
Do you feel like Meta is taking a turn now? I mean, it's previously been seen as a platform that sells, you know, users' information to the government. But recently, Mark Zuckerberg came out and said that he was actually
forced by the government.
Yeah, he was pressured by the Congress, the U.S. Congress. But now he's taking a huge turn in favor of free speech and saying that, you know, this isn't a hate speech slogan, which is seen by many in the West. Okay, this is not acceptable. But in the Arab world, we've been using the slogan for a long time.
And I guess the slogan is a problem when you connect it with Holocaust. That's all I can say about this. Or if you use it to glorify Hamas. The only good thing about this slogan, and the biggest good thing about this slogan, is that it is being used for the end of a war. And war is not good for anyone.
Mm-hmm. It's also been used not just for the end of a war, but the end of an occupation. It's an illegal occupation, and the slogan is meant to give rise to pro-Palestinian voices and Palestinian voices and to, you know, call for their freedom.
There's an interesting case that I also read when reading this news, that there was one, just to give you two sides of the picture, that people are still critics of this slogan. They think that it says that, the critics say that it says that all the Israelis or the Jews should be excluded out, like driven out of the Palestinian region, which now composes of Israel and Palestine, Gaza, and all the regions. The one of the measures that CNN actually used, they talked about a post which had floating watermelons, which were used, which were created through an AI, and the floating watermelons said this slogan. So they gave a comparison that nearly 1 million people liked that post, and there were like 157 or 147 reports on that. Mm-hmm. So there are still critics who believe that the slogan is anti-Jew.
But I believe it's a minority, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's a minority, but yeah. They're there.
They're there. There's always going to be opposition yeah. from
but
it.
But Meta coming out and saying that it's not hate speech, it's a big step. Mm-hmm. So let's see if other platforms
Elon Musk,
will...
the free speech guy is yeah. going to allow that.
Most probably, yes. If see one big company sets a tone mm-hmm. for a slogan, obviously everyone will follow. Yeah. And everyone has seen what is happening. It's not like people are blind. Everyone on social media has eyes. They can see there's like millions of videos of what is happening in Gaza. There's like UN reports, there's human rights reports, there's like all sorts of reports. The International Court, Criminal Court mm-hmm. has decisions. So everything, every data set, every report that you pick up shows that what is happening is wrong. And this slogan, to be honest, which is being used majority by people who just want the war to end. That's it. There's mm-hmm. no other motive. There's no subconscious, unconscious, any motive. It's just that the suffering of the people should end.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any other...
This is the biggest thing that I read in the morning. And then now let's move to the main stories.
Move on to the main stories. So Anghami reports an 18.3% subscriber growth after a strategic OSN Plus acquisition. So Anghami, as you all who watch the show know, we are on the Anghami
platform as well.
Platform as a podcast. It's a premier multimedia streaming platform in the MENA region mainly. And it's announced a significant growth in its video streaming subscriber base. So now I guess it includes more videos than it's not just podcasts or audio.
It's more video now.
Yes.
So what happened was OSN, they struck a deal with Anghami. Anghami apparently wasn't growing as much as they should have. When they came back in 2012, they were one of the biggest platforms. They were the only and the first platform which included legal music. Mm-hmm. You could listen to it, download it offline and listen to it. So it was a legal music platform. And what they did was they changed the market in 2020, but there always comes a curve where you either stabilize a lot or you don't grow. So what they did was they finally made not a merger, it's not an acquisition, they're calling it a transaction. So transaction was that OSN Plus bought their shares at a premium price, not at the price at which they were being dealt on NASDAQ. They were bought at $3.69 per share, which was way above the normal price at the end of the day on that day of stock market. And they now own the majority stake in Anghami. The good thing was that Eli Habib, the founder of Anghami, was kept as the CEO on OSN Plus merger, whatever firm they formed. He was kept as the CEO. So now Anghami has video content as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's great.
So they saw a 18.3% subscriber growth after the OSN transaction. There's a lot of numbers that I want to tell everyone. So the merger basically created an entertainment giant with over 120 million registered users. Registered users means paid users. 2.5 million paid subscribers. 120 million registered users and close to 100 million in revenue. So mm-hmm. at the time of closing. So this transaction, which they're calling a transaction, I'm not calling it. I don't know why they're using the word transaction for it. It can be an acquisition or a merger. But they bought 55% of the shares. And this happened in April of 2024. Mm-hmm. So the whole process was approved in last year, end of mm-hmm. last year. But this happened in April 2024, yeah. So it recently happened.
Yeah, and recently they're seeing a lot of subscribers, and according to reports, it's mainly due to the release of House of Dragon
season two.
Which streams on OSN.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are into that show.
Yeah, because of Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones was a phenomenon when it came out, and when the eight seasons ended. The show producers said that they will continue, they will make prequels, sequels, something. So the very first prequel, the story of the House of Dragons, mm-hmm. the House Targaryen, it came out. And the first season was good. The second season, I didn't like it. It didn't end on a cliffhanger or anything. It was mm-hmm. very bad. But again,
it was still very popular.
But it's still very popular because people loved Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones, was one of the best shows in the world at some point, I guess. And after Breaking Bad. I love Breaking Bad more than Game of Thrones. Yeah. Everyone has their preferences. Yeah. But Game of Thrones, obviously, this show is reaping the rewards of that show. And Angami, with partnership with OSN, is also reaping the rewards. There's some other numbers that I saw that the combined entity of OSN Plus and Angami, they have over 18,000 hours of premium video content now. So it's not just audio that Angami has. It has 18,000 hours of premium video content, including exclusive HBO shows. So alongside a vast catalog of 100 plus million Arabic and international songs and podcasts. And out of the 100 million plus, we are one of them. Yeah.
So moving on to our second story, Tarabot acquires UK payments platform Vine to navigate new MENA financial regulations. So Tarabot is the Middle East and North Africa's first and largest regulated open banking platform, and it has acquired Vine, with a Y, not an I, which is a UK-based real-time account-to-account payments platform. And this acquisition was approved by the Saudi Central Bank and the UK's Financial Conduct Authority. And this puts Tarabot in a place where it can enhance its payment capabilities and also expand its reach. So what we're seeing with a lot of companies in the Middle East is they're really trying to expand, you know, on a global scale and worldwide. So this acquisition with a UK-based platform is a step, you know, ahead of that.
So acquisitions and also expansions, I think this is a very good strategy that the Middle East startups and the Middle East now, the startups which have moved into a more mature stage, they're using, they're not just moving into the market.
Right.
They're moving, but they're acquiring platforms from that region and then moving. So that platform that they acquired, it already has established user base, it already has established network, and they tap into it, and then obviously they provide their services, they take on their services. So they create a mixture of services. So expansion is not in terms of territory only. Expansion is in the services that they provide as well. So Tarabot, Open Bank, and then account-to-account platform Vine. So obviously, they're expanding the kind of services that they provide. So it's very, very smart move, to be honest.
Yeah, it is.
It's not just a very normal move. A lot of people, for example, Al-Majid Farood, that is seeing the IPO is going to close soon. September 15th was the last date. The IPO subscription was closed within 2 hours. A lot of IPOs we also talked about on the show, the Saudi IPOs, they were closed in the first hour. They are moving. They're just moving to another country, placing a shop. Maybe they can acquire a perfume factory there or perfume setup there and then put their products in. Because some brands in the UK or in other markets, in the European markets where Al-Majid Farood is going, they already have established brand presence. They have a recall value. People love those brands. So they can maybe start acquiring stuff. Good idea, right?
It is a very good idea, actually. So this integration will offer businesses in the Middle East, especially in retail and automotives, the ability to conduct instant secure payments and bypassing traditional costly methods. So this will be a good alternative.
So basically, they're bypassing banks because they charge a lot. And they take a lot of time to process. We talked about crypto as well. People love crypto because the transaction...
Just easier.
Yeah, the transaction is quicker and the amount that you get deducted from your part is also cheaper.
And Tarabot will begin rolling out Vine's A2A payment technology starting in Bahrain, with also plans to expand in Saudi Arabia and the UAE. And it's also poised to capitalize on new financial regulations, offering seamless payment solutions and enhancing real-time reporting and reconciliation. So yeah, this acquisition will put Tarabot to continue its mission of connecting financial ecosystems across the Middle East. So
That's a good thing. And yesterday, the Saudi Central Bank also announced the second part of the framework for open banks. So Tarabot is trying to go to other markets by going for not only acquisitions, they're also trying to be compliant with the policies of the country that they're moving in. So their Saudi expansion is obviously in the plans, but before going there. They're the open banking platform. They have to comply with Saudi's policies as well.
Yeah, of course.
So it's a good move. Again, very smart move. MENA people are very smart right mm-hmm. now. The startups, the youngsters who are coming up with these startups.
So anybody watching the show should take tips from these guys because they really know how to, you know, expand their business and make themselves known.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our final story. Middle East markets under pressure amid global stock slump. So the global stock markets took a big hit on Wednesday, and this was primarily driven by a sharp drop in tech stocks, particularly NVIDIA, whose shares fell by over 9%. And the sell-off had a ripple effect worldwide, of course. It affected a lot of different markets across the globe, with European markets down by 0.6% to 0.9%, and Asian markets, which including Tokyo and Taipei, dropping more than 4%. Now, here in the Middle East, the markets also followed suit, with stock indices in Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Dubai, and Abu Dhabi experiencing declines.
Yeah, so the global stock market, we saw recently in this month also, at the end of last month, that the global stocks fell like crazy. Mm-hmm. There was a big slump, and that was because of the jobs report that was about to be published in the US. So the job report, it was expected that nearly 150 or 160,000 jobs were created in US, but the numbers were very low. They were like 115 to 120,000. So that report, before it came out, created this red environment where everything is red, everything is in minus. And then after that came, it was again the same story for a few days, but the markets, they recovered. Mm-hmm. So the recovery period over the last 2 or 3 weeks was good. People were expecting that good things will happen. Mm-hmm. And September, there's another report coming on Friday. It's an economic report. So this combined with NVIDIA's stock dropping because they reported not good numbers in their economic report. So it's not a single thing, not NVIDIA. Mm-hmm. It's just a combination of a lot of stuff.
Right.
And I was reading that in September, usually the global markets see this slump.
Oh, so were they expecting the slump?
Yeah, it's a historical data that shows that the biggest slump that the market have seen over the past 2 decades is mm-hmm. usually in September. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't read the whole report. It is a very long report. But so historically, September is not bad, good for stocks. Mm-hmm. So if you're buying and selling and if you're trading, usually
just
keep September as a holiday period. Don't buy anything. Don't sell anything. Uh-huh. Maybe sit on it. Wait till November when the markets mm-hmm. recover. So historical data says that.
But I find it interesting that, a market in the U.S. will affect markets worldwide.
See, U.S. is the biggest economy. So everything that happens in the biggest economy, we live in a unipolar world on paper. Geopolitically and politically, if you see, it's a unipolar world. Mm-hmm. America is the superpower. But economically, a lot of countries have grown. The BRICS nation coming out, Brazil, mm-hmm. Russia, India, China, and then South Africa joining. So all these countries and then UAE becoming a part of mm-hmm. it, Saudi Arabia becoming a part.
Well.
So it's a now 10 nation strong group. It's not mm-hmm. BRICS, it's BRICS plus now. So that coming up, the geopolitics, the economy, everything is moving in a very different direction. Mm. So America obviously affects everything, but these new ideas coming into the market, they will change how economies
function. Right.
The right word would be function.
Mm-hmm.
But BRICS nation, they have their next conference in October. Russia is the chair of the conference. Every year they change the it's in the alphabetical order.
Mm-hmm.
So Russia is
the
chair.
This is their second year.
Russia is the chair. So we'll see a lot of things. There's a talk about BRICS pay system. So in that BRICS, usually when you do trade across the globe, you use dollar. So, but currency fluctuation is so much that, for example, in Pakistan, if I made a deal with someone for example, $100, the rate of Pakistan USD to PKR will fluctuate so much that in Pakistani currency, I may face a loss.
Mm.
So $100 maybe means 10,000 rupees.
Right.
But when I'm paying, maybe I'm paying 15,000 because it fluctuates so much. So BRICS Pay is going to bridge that gap. They are trying to build a very unified system where you deal with each other in your local currencies. Mm-hmm. So that way, the dependency on US dollar will nearly vanish. Mm-hmm. So if you are India, I am Russia, and we're like buying oil or doing trade, you will pay me as India in INR, and I will pay you in the Russian
and
currency.
And the difference won't be that
so
much.
The difference between your currencies will be there, but the US dollar fluctuation will not affect it. So it's going to be, if it agree, it gets agreed upon, and obviously these systems take a lot of time to get established. So we'll see that. So US affecting everyone in the world. If these BRICS nations come together, some other countries come together, European countries come together, they start trading in their own currencies, the US dollar dependence will vanish, and then these stock markets will also not affect us.
Yeah, it will really change the landscape.
So the markets in the US and Europe all closed negative. Only there was one or two, where's the finance page?
So
S&P closed at around minus 0.16%, 0.16%. Dow 30 recovered later in the day. So, but they recovered very low. It was like plus 0.09%. NASDAQ closed at 0.3. Russell closed at 0.1. Europe markets, the major markets, the first major seven numbers, all are in negative. Asian markets, which usually set the benchmark. Actually, the Asian markets open in the morning, and then according to UAE time, Asian markets are the first one that open. So Asian markets usually set the trend, oh, it's going to be a bad day, good day. So Asian markets are open, and only S&P Asia is in positive. Everything else, Nikkei 225, minus 1.17, very bad. So maybe this trend will continue today.
I have some information on the Middle Eastern indices. So Egypt's EGX 30 dropped by 0.07%. Dubai's DFMSI dropped by 0.50%. And then Abu Dhabi's ADX dropped by 0.132%.
So these markets are seeing the overall effect of the global economy. The Friday report, we're waiting for that. And most probably till Friday, this trend will continue. We will see red everywhere. NVIDIA, mainly if you talk about NVIDIA, they lost nearly across the board throughout the day. I saw them losing nearly 14% of their money, but they closed at around 9 or 10%. But that's a big, this removed nearly $230 billion from NVIDIA's stock. So it's not even million, it's billion. So most probably they'll lose a lot of money. Also, I just saw that our NVIDIA's Jensen Huang, who is the head of NVIDIA, he just crashed out of the 100 billion club. So after his net worth plunged by almost 10 billion. So Jensen Huang, he was part of the 100 billion club. His worth was more than 100 billion.
Now,
he's crashed out.
He's out of that club.
Yeah, so he's lost nearly 10 billion in just like 2 or 3 days.
Oh, wow.
So this is what the stock markets do to you. I remember even the last slump that we saw in August, a lot of people lost a lot of money. Elon Musk lost nearly $15 billion. The guy, Microsoft guy, Mr. Bill Gates, also lost a lot of money. Warren Buffett lost a lot of money. He was smart. He sold Apple at that time. So yeah, stock markets are a very big thing. We usually don't discuss it, but whenever there is a slump, we have to discuss it. So today we discussed a lot of interesting things in Anghami, and OSN partnership is reaping rewards. Finally, Anghami saw 18.3% growth in their subscriber base, mostly pushed up by the House of the Dragon. Every time I try to say it, Game of Thrones comes on my tongue. So yeah, House of the Dragon season 2, it was very useful for both of them because OSN Plus streams that. So Anghami saw an increase, then we talked about the global slump and then Middle East markets being affected. And Tarabut, the biggest open banking platform in the Middle East, has acquired Vine, which is a UK Setup, which is a UK platform for account-to-account payments. And they're expanding in the region. They're doing good. So this is what we've discussed today.
Yes. So if you joined us in the second half of the show, or if you missed a part of it, you can always find us on all these streaming platforms like Anghami, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. You can also find us on Instagram, TikTok, X, Facebook, and YouTube. We also have a daily newsletter that comes out at 6:30 a.m. Every day.
Yeah.
And we talk about the things we talk about on the show with more detail, as well as other short stories. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on the Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production, part of the Augustus Media Podcast Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.